Well, the text that we just heard for this Easter Sunday, this is a text or a story you probably haven't heard on Easter Sunday. This is, believe it or not, Mark's account of resurrection morning. You see, the church has treated this story as a side B story when it comes to the empty tomb. Typically, on Easter Sunday morning, preachers choose to have John's account read, and then the sermon following. In John's story of resurrection morning, Jesus makes an appearance before one of his female disciples, Mary Magdalene, in a very moving moment, unforgettable moment. It's in this story that Jesus actually makes appearance in the garden following the discovery of the empty tomb. And if this isn't your first rodeo when it comes to church on Easter Sunday morning, sometime in the past, you must have heard Matthew's account read and a sermon following. Matthew's gospel, this writer turns his camera towards the guards that are set to secure the tomb. We see them fall flat on their face, mud on their face, as the stone is rolled away in a powerful manner. And some spring morning in the past, after you helped the kids or grandkids hunt baskets, you came to church and you probably heard Luke's account of resurrection morning. In Luke's story, it's the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, along with some other unnamed women, who step into the empty tomb. And they are encountered by two angels. One asks them, "Why are you looking for the living from among the dead?" Luke says that the women at that moment remembered what Jesus said. They burst forth from the empty tomb filled with joy, and they go back to announce the good news of resurrection to Peter and the 11. And Luke has us follow Peter back to the garden, back to the tomb, where Peter conducts his own CSI investigation, takes a couple pictures, shrugs his shoulders, goes back home for Easter brunch. That's Luke. You've heard that before. But this account, Mark's account, the side B story, this may be the first Easter you've ever heard it. Most scholars, biblical scholars, near unanimous, believe that Mark is the first gospel that was penned. That means that this story of resurrection morning is the oldest one that the church possesses. And yet it's often buried, not heard on Easter, especially compared to Luke, Matthew, and John. So why the big cover-up? Why aren't preachers choosing Mark, the original Easter story, for proclamation on Easter? Well, in short, there's just a lot of difficulties here that makes preaching this text hard. For example, like the other accounts, it's the women who make their worried walk to the cemetery. They're worried about who's going to roll away the stone so that they can gain entry to continue to embalm Jesus' body. They approach the tomb and the stone is rolled away. And Mark says when they entered into the tomb, the women, they were encountered by a young man wearing white. Now, typically, we immediately think, well, this was an angel. Problem is, Mark didn't use the Greek word angelos for angel. He simply says it was a young man wearing white before Memorial Day. The young man says to the women, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here. He's been raised. Let me show you. This is where we laid him. And now I need you to go back to Peter and the 11 and tell them that Jesus intends to connect with them back home in Galilee." Well, what's the response of the women in Mark's account? They fled the tomb, not filled with joy. They fled terrified. And then making life more difficult for generations of preachers to rise and preach this text on Easter Sunday morning, Mark says they went out and they told no one. That's it. That's it. They left in fear. They went and told nobody. Guess it's time to pack back up in the Buick. Let's go to Grandma's for the glazed ham and deviled eggs. I mean, what do you do with this? The women's response: terror and closed lips. But now you do see why preachers treat this as the side B Easter story. The other accounts give preachers something to work with. The women go forth in joy. They go forth to tell the men. They go forth, women, to proclaim the original good news: Jesus Christ is risen. But Mark, the oldest, not so much. But this is something that Mark offers us that no other gospel account of Easter can give us. And you can actually look at this for yourself. If you want to pick up your pew Bible and turn to page 55 in the New Testament, you can see this for yourself. This is pretty incredible when you see it. I know we only have a few pew Bibles, but maybe you can do this work at home. The original writer, Mark, ended his gospel at verse 8. That's where the gospel of Mark ended originally. Well, Doug, how do you know that? Well, because the earliest manuscripts we have of Mark, all of them end at verse 8. But then something noteworthy happens. Something extremely interesting happens. Some brave souls decided to actually take an eraser to the period at the end of verse 8, and instead they inserted a comma. Some brave, faith-filled soul concluded that this is no way to end this gospel. This is no way to end this incredible, forever-changing moment: Jesus Christ alive again. So over the next 100 or 150 years after its composition, most likely Mark would have been dead, there were new endings attached. New stories of Christ's post-Easter appearances, which no doubt were circulating in the Christian communities that treasured Mark as their gospel. You see it right there in black and white on page 55 of the New Testament. It's like a blinking light. Caution, caution. What you're about to read wasn't originally the ending. Somebody erased the period and inserted a comma. And there's more. This is the Gospel of Mark, and there's more. Unlike the other Gospels, Matthew, Luke, and John, you actually have a choice of what comes next. There are, yes, two separate alternative endings in Mark. There's a shorter ending, and there's a longer ending. Growing up in the 1980s, it reminds me of those old choose-your-own-adventure books. Do you remember those books? I remember as a preteen, one of those books, it was a Star Trek book. So if you wanted to beam down with Mr. Spock to the tropical moon, you turn to page 18. If you want to stick with Captain Kirk to interrogate the captured Romulan, you turn to page 31. Kids out there, if you like these choose-your-own-adventure books, choose-your-own-ending books, if you ever pick up one about Star Trek, when they give you a choice of what color Starfleet uniform to wear, blue, yellow, or red, blue, turn to this page, yellow, turn to that one, and red, trust me, you don't want to put on the red Starfleet uniform. Those crew members always bite the dust. Well, I'll bring that rabbit back off the trail. Okay, so Mark ends in this unforgettable fashion. Mark's short yet disquieting resurrection account begs for new stories of resurrection to be told, to be added. With this lens, trusting by faith that the living Christ's agenda is always resurrections, always fresh starts, always hope when no one can see hope. This week, we witnessed two such stories. We can celebrate them as stories of God's resurrection power still on full display in our world, not only 2,000 years ago in this garden, but God's resurrection power on full display at this moment. Strike a comma and add a story. One of the stories comes from the world of sports and the other from the world of religion. Last Sunday, our nation witnessed perhaps one of the greatest comebacks in sporting history as Tiger Woods slipped on the green jacket, winning his fifth Masters. It was moving. You have no spiritual pulse if you didn't feel something. As we watched Woods embrace his children and embrace his mother, kudos to sportscaster Jim Nance and the team at CBS for allowing 3 full minutes of silence for the world simply to behold and to take in what this means, what this says. Though Tiger wasn't wearing a hat that read John 3:16, how could one not see the fingerprints of God last Sunday? Our God moves in mysterious ways. But whenever you see a rising, whenever you behold a resurrection, whenever a fresh start is given again, how can you not miss the God we've come to worship today? How can you not miss God's fingerprints? We need not be reminded of Tiger's difficulties over the course of several years. If there was a story in Scripture that paralleled the story of Tiger Woods, it would be the story of King David, meteoric rise and a hard public fall. Woods' story, David's story, you could overlap them with one another. But our God is a God of resurrection power. Our God is a God of fresh starts, new beginnings, alternative endings, surprise endings we could never imagine. I believe in the resurrection, yes, because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them in harmony, sing that the tomb was empty. I believe in the resurrection because what God did 2,000 years ago. But brothers and sisters, I stand with you today saying I believe in the resurrection because whenever you behold the story of the broken, mended communities that are hopeless, receiving new vision, whenever you see a resurrection, you just have to believe. You have to believe in this God. As out-of-the-box Lutheran pastor Nadia Bowles Weber reminds us in her book, Patrick's, the Christian faith, she says, so misrepresented in American culture. It isn't about shoulds and shouldn'ts. Christianity, she says, is about God lifting us out of the shallow or deep graves that we keep digging for ourselves. God reaching to grab us out of these graves time and time again. Add the story of Tiger Woods to the story of God raisings. Place another comma for the next story. On Monday, our attention, our mind and heart was turned toward Paris as we beheld that horrific destruction of Notre Dame Cathedral. Such a loss for our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters and a loss for all of us. Yet again, the God whose agenda is new life, fresh starts, new beginnings, made appearance again. Stories of alternative endings, surprise endings, began to rise even as the smoke continued to rise. Along with that consuming fire, we witnessed Parisians gathering to sing and to pray. We heard, even while they were still putting out the fire, that hundreds of millions of dollars have been given or pledged for the eventual renovation of this sacred place. Even folks who consider themselves atheists, non-religious, have joined this work. And then on Tuesday, a glimpse of Easter as the world beheld the interior of that holy ground. There we saw the stained glass windows aglow with Tuesday morning sun. There we saw so many of the artifacts and the art preserved, spared from the fire. And who could not see the cross, his cross, still on the altar? This morning I wonder, in Europe, Western Europe, the most secularized, arguably one of the most secularized places on the planet Earth today, how many folks may just wander in to a church on this Easter Sunday, maybe being disconnected from a faith community for generations, but they're there. Maybe they can't articulate why they're there, why they took this step to hear this story again. Maybe they've come to believe that at least there's a possibility that resurrection is real, and maybe they can get in on that resurrection power. Add a comma. Get ready to share another story of our redeeming God at work in our world and in our lives. So on this Easter Sunday, like the characters we meet at the beginning of Mark 16, maybe someone's walked into this sacred space with a worried walk or vainly attempting to manage real fear in one's life. Maybe today you feel that you have been laid out and laid under, that you're in a grave, life has put you there, a regrettable choice has put you there, whatever it is, you just feel that you're in the dark. Friends, I got good news for you. The God of alternative endings. A new story awaits you. An ending which finds you trusting that the God of Jesus Christ will do for you what God has done for so many others and God has done for you in the past, no doubt. The good news on this Easter is that the God of Jesus Christ will reach into that shallow or deep grave you may have dug for yourself, lift you up, lift you out, offering a fresh start, an unexpected ending to the story. And when God does what God does, when resurrection power is extended to you, be ready to share that story. Add the comma and share the story. Because as you do, you may inspire somebody else who wants to get in on this as well. Thanks be to God.